Friends, welcome to the Slaking Thirst podcast, where you'll find the homilies, talks, and reflections of Father Ryan Mann and Father Patrick Schultz of the Diocese of Cleveland. Slaking Thirst is all about bringing the thirst deep within our hearts for love and communion to the heart of Christ, which is also a divine heart, seeking our love and communion in return. The hope is that the two thirsts will meet and both thirsts would be slaked. Thanks for joining us on the journey into Christ's desire for us.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, 'Rabbi.' As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father, but you have but one Father in heaven. Do not be called master. You have but one master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord.
I'm always tempted to preach on apologetics, kind of defending the faith and making it more understandable. There's a lot of things in that gospel that just get really confused, but we're going to leave the apologetics homily to another day. What struck me, I guess, where my heart just settled was in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, and this line in particular, the Lord is speaking through Isaiah. He says, "If you are willing and obey, you shall eat the good things of the land." If you are willing and obey, you shall eat the good things of the land. On one level, it's, you know, blessing comes from obeying the Lord. The Lord gave these commandments. He gave these laws precisely for Israel to maintain her freedom, right? The law came in the context of the Exodus, so the law is the guarantor of freedom. And the Lord's saying, if you would be free, continue and follow these laws, and you will eat the good things of the land. But there's a deeper level. There's a deeper level here. Have you ever noticed how much food and drink and hunger and thirst play into the story of salvation, both from the very beginning, from the very beginning to the very end? I mean, things went off the rails in the first book of the Bible in Genesis with a bad meal, the eating of a food that they weren't supposed to eat. Things were set right in the New Testament with Jesus establishing the new covenant, the new Passover, a new meal, a new food is given, right? Or think about the morning of the resurrection, that the resurrected Christ just defeated sin and death and Satan, trampling on the gates of Hades. One of his first appearances is to his apostles. He's on the seashore. They're fishing. He's making a little charcoal fire. They come ashore. One of the first things the resurrected Christ does is, "Hey, come have breakfast." Like, I think that's astounding, right? I don't know what I would have done if I was the resurrected one who defeated my enemies, sin and death, trampling them underfoot. I probably would have shown up in Pilate's house, to be honest, or Caiaphas's palace with a big old "see, like, I told you so" kind of thing. But here's Jesus making baked fish. Or think about the Old Testament, right? Israel, after the 10 plagues, the 10th plague preceded by the Passover meal, which leads into the Exodus, the desert wandering of the Israelite people, all those hungry, hungry souls who start grumbling, and the Lord in his mercy provides them miraculous flesh, the quail, and the manna, the bread. He's feeding them. Or think about Isaiah. Earlier in the book of Isaiah, he's prophesying about the Lord's mountain. On this mountain, the Lord will provide for his people a feast of juicy, rich foods and pure, choice meats, wonderful wines and meats. This whole story of salvation is inexplicable. It's intertwined with food and drink and hunger and thirst. Why? Because it's so elemental to both the human experience, because we're both body and soul, right? Our bodily hungers point to spiritual hungers. We come into the world, our very first cries are hunger pangs. It's a longing for the breast. The very first cry every infant has ever made is a hunger for the breast, a longing to be satisfied. And the stomach knows what it wants. The stomach is not just an empty space that'll take anything. The stomach knows and aches because I want fulfillment, right? That's how we come into this world. And as we age, deeper hungers of the heart begin to arise. Deeper longings, deeper thirsts for fullness, for meaning, for love, for relationships, for purpose, for beauty, all of those things. And the enemy of our human nature, who hates our hunger, who hates our thirst, who hates our bodies, who hates our destiny, the enemy suggests to us, you just won't be satisfied. You won't find satisfaction. We become, as sinners, spiritually speaking, we become thumb suckers, sucking our thumbs. What is thumb sucking? Or like a baby with sucking a pacifier, if you will. The baby's getting a semblance of satisfaction without the real thing. Right? No matter how hard that baby sucks that thumb, no milk is coming out of the thumb. Right? You will not be satisfied. No matter how hard you try, you won't be satisfied. We hear this in our culture, in our music, in our movies. I mean, this is just the one example that was hitting me this morning in prayer. Think about, it's a little bit before my time, but my dad used to play Rolling Stones. Mick Jagger, that guy tries and he tries and he tries and he tries, but he can't get no satisfaction. He tries, but he just can't get it. Spiritually speaking, we've taken our hungers and thirsts, right, for love, to be seen, to be noticed, to be admired, to be loved, all the things. We've taken them to all sorts of places in order to get a semblance of satisfaction. False lovers, we might say, right? People, places, things, situations. And all of these things eventually turn into addictions, wanting to get more and more of what gives the semblance of satisfaction, but it never actually satisfies. I mean, the scribes and the Pharisees in the gospel today, Jesus says, they do all their works to be seen. Like this hunger to be seen is ultimately a hunger for the Father to see us. Like no matter how often, no matter how much we get seen or admired by other people, it won't ever satisfy that deepest of hungers to know the Father's voice that says, I see you, my beloved son. I see you, my beloved daughter, and with you I'm well pleased, right? These false lovers are offering constantly these thumbs for us, these false satisfactions that say, come to me, and you'll find satisfaction. Come to me, you'll find peace. Come to me, you'll find contentment. Come to me, you'll find the ecstasy you're looking for. Come to me, and I'll fulfill you. And God is saying, if you are willing and obey, if you are willing to undergo the painful purifications of wrenching our hearts away from these false lovers, these lower goods, these falsely satisfying things, if you're willing to undergo the painful process of purification to reorder ourselves to the Lord, and he says if you are willing to obey, the root of that word means to hear. If you're willing to hear me and to obey, you shall eat the good things of the land. In other words, I will feed you. Where will you feed us? When will you feed us? With what will you feed us? With the fruit of the earth transformed into the fruit of her womb. When the fruit of the earth is transformed into the fruit of her womb. You ever notice in the right before the Eucharistic prayer, blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received this bread. We offer you fruit of the earth. In just a few short moments, it becomes the fruit of her womb. Or blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received this wine we offer you, fruit of the vine. it will become our spiritual drink. Like, what is bread? Baked wheat flour, which is the crushed endosperm of the wheat plant. And what is wine? It's the fermented juice of the crushed grape ovary. That's what a grape is. You ever notice that we put on the altar the fertility of the earth and we ask the Lord, the giver of life, the Holy Spirit, to come down upon these gifts so that the fruit of the earth, all of nature's openness and receptivity, all of that would become turned into the fruit of Mary's womb? You ever notice how this Mass, every Mass, it's like we are watching the Annunciation happen again, Mary being the culmination of the fruit of the earth, and the Holy Spirit comes down upon her, and the Word becomes flesh? The Word becomes flesh for what purpose? To feed our hunger. Jesus becomes bread. He becomes drink. He feeds our hunger with himself. The bridegroom wants to fulfill our hungers. Blessed are you, Lord God. Blessed are you. Jesus, in response to Mick Jagger, who can't get any satisfaction, we sing that you satisfy the hungry heart with the gift of finest wheat. Amen.